Welcome to Christ Today. Lord Jesus, guide us as we seek understanding of how we may be protected and covered by your love and your grace in the coming days. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, the men of Issachar desired to understand the times in which they lived. This is on my heart, and so is Romans 13, which talks about wise living. As we look around in the world, we see examples of people living with wisdom, and we see people living according to their own immediate needs, which might be foolishness. So, as though we look and consider their actions and everything that is going on, we can see we want to be wise and not foolish about what we are doing as we interact with the world around us. We have examples in the Bible about how to live with prosperity and freedom, and very soon now we will have our celebration of July 4th, the day on which we remember our nation's tradition, which helped to make our nation great. Our freedom to worship God and our freedom to live with freedom are great traditions and so important for the time before our Constitution, when men were forced to live in an unpleasant way. Well, these are underlined conditions which our Bible supports freedom in every way and prosperity, and that also is in accordance with the Bible laws and principles. This mindset started well before our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution with the Bill of Rights. It was embodied with covenants and agreements that were made, for instance, by the Pilgrims and by other people who came by sea to the land of America. American history books refer to events that created America, like Lexington Green, and they refer to the shot that was heard around the world, which caused America and England to be on different sides. There was a time when Americans would stand up and fight for their freedom, and it also was to eliminate the connection with the royal rules given by the King of England for his subjects in America to follow and obey. Well, Americans wanted freedom. The Americans wanted free trade and even objected to a 5% or 10% tax, which they paid on imported tea. The early colonists were so outraged by that tea tax that they went on to force their way onto English merchant ships and throw the tea overboard into the Boston Harbor. And that was known as the Boston Tea Party, because they did not like England's tax on items like tea. The tax, by the way, was 3 cents on a pound of tea. So you could imagine what those American colonists would say when they heard about the taxes that we Americans pay nowadays. Many things from those days became a call for revolution as the King of England and the merchants of the day forced Americans to pay higher costs than were expected on the things that came from overseas, including England. And whatever was manufactured in England, whether it was cloth or tools. Well, it came that there developed many regulations as the rules intensified for England and for America. And even in this day, we can see how government rules and regulations have increased and increased. A point of illustrating that is the 2019 COVID restrictions. Now, we know that there were many things that the government demanded the citizens of the United States do, like wear masks and stand 6 feet apart. And if we had another pandemic, do you think American citizens would do that again? To stand in line, to wear a mask and stand 6 feet apart? Well, it's interesting because even today, after the epidemic has been expected to be called over, there are still plenty of people who wear masks. And obviously, they are not aware of the people like Fauci, who has said that the masks don't really work, and the standing 6 feet apart doesn't work either. So we have the words that have been said by those officials like Fauci, that the steps that were taken to reduce COVID do not actually work. But so many people are really unaware about what is going on in the world that they continue to wear their masks when they walk, when they exercise, and when they speak. It's going to be an interesting situation to see whatever happens in our world for requirements that we will have put upon us and what we, the people, will obey, especially after we have learned that the people in charge really did not take care of the people of America. There was an article, many months ago, in the British Medical Journal that tells about 18,000 cases of the human heart swelling. And it was called the condition of myocarditis. And so you can look that up and see what it says. It was very concerning a few years ago when so many young men were coming down with myocarditis. And young men especially, but also young women. There were probably 5 or 10 times more young men than young women who came down with that condition of the heart tissue swelling. 18,000 cases were reported to the CDC, but so many people have not even heard of this. What, we had to read it in the British Medical Journal to realize that it really happened? Where are our professionals? Where are the people who care about what happens to Americans? Do we really have to research everything for ourselves? Well, maybe we have to, because it's obvious that the people in charge are not acting responsibly. So if we had another vaccine required by so many people, would we do it? Would we put on masks again? Or have the Americans had enough? Or is it just an example to show that Americans have become a very compliant people who cannot research and understand the truth of what is going on. Yes, so what would we do if there was another pandemic? What would happen next time? And you know, there are plenty of people who are talking about there being another pandemic coming. Some people think it's going to be called the bird flu, and it is going to be so deadly that they are going to have to cause Americans to listen to the World Health Organization and do whatever we are told to do to prevent the spread of bird flu that no doubt will be killing chickens and children. That's what seems to be ahead for us. Do we know it? Of course we don't know it, but it is following a plan which has happened before. They get the people all worked up and all worried that we are all going to get sick or die. Well, we have things going on, and we have to wonder about some of it if it is simply a distraction, so we don't look too closely at what our officials are doing, and so that we don't look too closely at our concerns about a great big world war coming our way. It's really possible. It's possible to get worried about sending our young men and women off to war. It is also a big concern about the shortages of food and supplies that always come with war, any war. And right now we are looking at the possibility of a world war, a third world war, in which our young people will be forced to go into, just like they have been for the other wars in our past. What will we do? What will we support our children and grandchildren to do in the next world war? As the officials spread misinformation and lies, just like they did for all the great events of the last 100 years. World War I, the Spanish flu, World War II, the Great Depression, Korea War, Vietnam, and Gulf War, there have all been manipulations. But if we don't study, we really don't know, because the history books are written by the establishment. And the establishment wants to give us a version of history that leaves them in charge of telling we the people what to do as we lose one freedom after another. And that is going on in our country today. There are organizations and governments that want to take the freedom of the people and to have it be the situation all over the earth that they are in charge and the people are willing to obey. Well, look at the organizations around that are suggesting that we are going to be in trouble, especially if we don't do what we're told. There are secret societies that say that, one way or the other. Sometimes it's not at all obvious, but you can see where their directions are headed. You can see the World Economic Forum. You can see how they talk about owning nothing and being happy. There are the economic groups and political groups like the Club of Rome and the United Nations. And who runs these groups? People who want to be in charge of the whole world and all the people. So we have to be very aware of what's going on so we do not become slaves to their system. It could certainly turn into a economic system that we would then be a slave to. And it might become, well, certainly it would become, a beast system. All the organizations of the world, oh, I say all, well, it's obvious that there are people within the organizations that are moving towards control of people and governments. This is typically not what kind and loving or Christian people do, but it is what happens when people want to control others, when people want to control the world. It's a part of the Antichrist system. And of course, if we don't know what's happening, we just might jump right into whatever we are told to do by the elite groups and by the governments of the world. The groups and the governments are getting closer and closer to unifying the world and to cause all people to be unified according to their cause and not according to the hope of prosperity and liberty. Well, remember that these people are willing to sacrifice and destroy the world just so that they can control the world. Well, you don't have to believe that, but you can look at the examples in history and see that this would be a way of talking about what has gone on in the history of the world, and therefore what could go on in the future. As there is a battle between good and evil, God and Satan, and it is described as a battle to steal and kill and destroy humanity and the goodness within humanity. So we see this, and somehow we have to understand how we are going to remain free in God's will to worship God and to enjoy life on earth in the freedom that we can. So the Bible can tell us the stories, and the Bible can tell us what is truly going on. But of course, we have to read the Bible and understand what the Bible is saying. It can take a little bit of study. It's not always just real clear and easy to see, but it can be. The stories are, on one level, easy to see and understand, and on another level, it is something we can understand if we ponder. Well, we do want to have our good and godly nature living within us, and that will drive out the evil, because if we are good and godly, there's just no room for the evil. So it's a reason that we have to be aware and to follow Jesus Christ. In life, we are a Christ follower if we reject the temptations offered by Satan. And there are earthly temptations that are in front of us, but we also understand from the Bible that if we accept those sinful temptations, then our life is set for an eternity in the lake of fire. So, we have a chance to talk to people and tell them about how things happen in history that repeat, and in history that rhyme. There are things going on, just like from early times, ancient times, and the patterns continue today. I think back to the beginning of America and how in the 1600s, the Pilgrims and the descendants of the Pilgrims wanted to have freedom to speak the good news of the gospel. Now, if you look back on the history and the works that were written by those early Americans, you can see this is just plainly true and evident. But the modern historians that we read today will talk about the history of the United States of people that were humanistic and secular. The historians today do not write very much about the godly pilgrims and people that came from Europe to establish freedom to worship God and freedom to live and prosper without being a slave to someone or to a government. Those early Americans, we can read the writings of, and we can see that plainly they were concerned about freedom to worship God and the ability to live free. It goes way back to Governor William Bradford and John Mather and Increase Mather and lots of families at that time, the Carvers, the Winslows, the Williams, and all so many people that had their heritage back to the Mayflower. Many were godly, and there were a few that were ungodly. And you can see by the history of those families that they either had troubles in history. They might have been in trouble with the law or even had murders in their families. And there were the people who were godly and followed a God of the Bible. And they have a history that goes throughout America. We can look at the history of Jonathan Edwards, for instance. He has heritage that goes back in American history, and it goes forward also. And it includes pastors and people of God. By the way, Jonathan Edwards wrote a great sermon, and he preached it in New England in 1740. The sermon caused New England to have a Christian revival. And he preached this message at several churches called Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. Very moving message. You can listen to it. Well, just look it up online. It's there. And you can see that there have always been preachers that have talked about living right and doing right. And there have always been preachers that have talked about grace and how important that is on our salvation. You see, the things that we deal with today, whether it is grace or law, have always been talked about back to the very beginning of America and ever since Jesus Christ. The theologians have had these talks and debates. And here we are still concerned about them today. And what do we do when we find a person who is wanting to have power over you or wanting to be... Well, maybe they just want some food. What are you going to do to a person who asks you for food? It's all a part of the questions that we have had them forever. How do we deal with that? And the Bible gives us an idea of what to do with human compassion, and then what would be needed, or you could even call it required, of your neighbors, according to biblical principle. Like if you don't work, you don't eat. Now, how do we evaluate that with being kind to your neighbor? Well, there's a balance. It's a balance, and we strive to understand the biblical values and live according to the Bible. live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we respond to all sorts of things, yes, the examples are in the Bible, but they are also examples that have been throughout history. Even today, what should we do if there's an emergency? What should we do with compassion and caring? Do we respond with force to what? Or do we respond with compassion and letting people do what they want? There are many ways that we can learn from the Bible examples. And a part of what's going on today is what we can learn from how do we deal with people who flood into our country. That happened in ancient times too. In Israel it happened, where they had people who wanted to come live in Israel. And what did they do? They needed to conform to the culture of Israel. So we have a question of what is going to happen in America with the millions of immigrants who are coming to America. There is every kind of person now coming to America. Some are coming here just because they want to get rich or take the assets of the country and the people. And some of them have no desire to be an American. They only want to be here for what riches they can get. Oh, there is questions about if there going to be a war, a world war. And well, the people who come here, the recent migrants, will they defend America? Well, there are people who have interviewed the recent migrants. And those recent migrants, some of them answer in choppy English, and some of them only can speak in their home language. And they almost exclusively say that they would not fight to defend America. They clearly don't believe that America is their homeland. It's not where they want to be. So they are just here to take the advantages that they can get and the resources. Now, I'm sure there's some people who want to embrace the American way of life and defend America, but listen to the interviews and you will see there's not so many of them. This is a concern recently because of the things that are going on with conflict, with war in the world. And we can see that we could have a world war in just months. How many months? Not that many. And it seems like it could be this year, and it could be next year. It's interesting that we have, almost 10 European countries who now have a registration for a draft system to bring people into their military. And the one in Germany is going to start next year. And now it is going on that if you want to renew your professional license, you know, whether you're a nurse or a haircutter or a doctor or a journeyman of a trade, or if you want to renew your driver's license, you are required to sign up for the draft of that country's military. Now, we have things going on even in America. Just now, in recent weeks, there has been a bill passed by our U.S. Congress that requires everyone aged 18 to 26 to sign up for the draft. And there's a question of who will actually be required to sign up. There are still politicians that say everyone has to, men and women, between 18 and 26 year old. There are some politicians who want to exclude women.
And they say that we can invite recent migrants into our draft also. There is a concern that 76% of our U.S. population, which is between the ages of 18 and 26 years old, will not qualify to join the armed services. Mostly because so many people, 18 to 26, are overweight. And the other reason is because they cannot pass the tests, whatever the tests are. I'm not sure what the tests are, but it might have to do with what they can understand. Another factor is there are so many 18 to 26-year-olds who have a criminal record, and therefore, at this time, they cannot join the military. So, if we have a military where only 26% of our U.S. population, 23% of our U.S. population is qualified to join our military, what are we going to do? Well, you know there are alternatives, but maybe none of them are good. We have a situation where we still have patriotic people. Some of them are called Wolverines. And they would be concerned to have America remain American. And there are a lot of people who just plain don't care if America lives or dies. They don't care if there's going to be Russian troops come to America and Chinese troops come to America. There are certain prophetic people in the past, like 25, 35 years ago, they have said they saw this in a vision. Like Henry Gruber, he's a famous one who said that he saw it. Dimitri Dudeman is another. Oh, and then again, there are the George Washington visions from when he was at Valley Forge, and he saw America being overwhelmed by an army that was dark. A dark army overcame America and eventually was putting the lights out all over America. And then after a while, some of the lights came on again, indicating that the America that we knew as a Christian country will reform again, although it would be badly hurt. Well, these are all indications from prophecy, and it's not that we can believe prophecy, I certainly don't, but I know that it is a possibility, and it might even be a likelihood. So we listen to the people who have seen trouble going on in America. I think the recent one was Dana Coverstone from about 2019, yeah. And he talked about the things that would come with the banks having their roofs blown off and the money going through the streets, blown by the wind, just like the leaves. Well, there's lots of people who have had prophecy about the downfall of America. And do we really know what it is? No, I don't think we do. But we can certainly have an idea that these things are likelihoods. So what are we going to do to protect ourselves? Do you want to survive, or do you want to have America overrun and the people of America thrown into poverty and worse? So we have these things that are talked about, but that really means we have to do something to prepare for hard times. And obviously, that's the basics. Everybody needs water. Everybody needs food. Everybody needs warmth and to be a part of a community that cares for one another. I think about the Christian community as being a fundamental part of preparedness. But you could have a community of people who have the same interest. Maybe your interest is in CB radios or Jeeps or an effective governing policy or having some part of your community showing compassion for another part of the community. I think the real thing we have to pay attention to is how do we care for one another, and our mutual interests will help us to care for what goes on in another person's life in America. So what do we need to survive? I just said water, food, and warmth, and a sense of community, people we know and have common interests with. It might be the church you go to. It might be a different club. But somehow we have to show caring and compassion for each other to get through what could happen if there really was a hard time in America. What would we do if there was a war and everything was rationed? Now, that happened in World War II. Ration cards were sent to everyone, and nobody could buy all the food they wanted, all the gasoline they wanted, or meat, or butter, or cheese, coffee, or sugar. All these things were restricted. You had to use your ration cards to buy any of those things in World War II. Well, it could happen again, and that's the point that I would say. What are the things that are valuable to you? How about a flashlight? How about batteries? How about proof of your ownership of your home or any other ID papers that you would need? Do you have a driver's license copy? Do you have a bank statement copy? There are things that you can have to prepare for in case there really does get to be a hard time. And what do you do with keeping your gasoline stable, having your car run, or would we have an EMP? You know, the EMP is a matter of what many experts say would be the first strike in a war. In a war, the first thing the enemy would do is to take out our electrical, and that includes our ability to communicate with our cell phone towers down, our computers down. We would be unable to communicate. And that reminds me of a vision that Henry Gruber had. He said the communications went down after America was attacked. Well, again, how do we say that somebody had a vision, and how do we validate it? Well, we can see that other people have had similar visions, and we can see that the War Department, Department of Defense, the various people within these organizations of government and military have talked about what the likely chain of events would be. And an EMP going off would be among the first things to happen, which would take away people's ability to communicate and would take away the electricity. And then we would have to be concerned about what we had in our food, our stored food, or our refrigerator, or whatever it was. We would be all occupied by the conditions of being without electricity. Everyone has an idea of what they would do if they didn't have a stove, if they didn't have heat in their home, if they didn't have something or another. And what would we do? Well, we all have to figure a part of that out, because if World War III is coming, if China and Russia are our enemies, which they say they are, They have threatened the United States mainland several times. And there are the BRICS nations that are aligning with Russia and China, and they basically do not like America. So we could see things coming to, well, let's call it great trouble, or you could call it a collapse of America, a collapse of the U.S. dollar, a collapse of the U.S. economy, a collapse of our supply system. And what would we do if we couldn't get food or gasoline or the supplies we need? You see, that's one of the things that is a potential going on right now. Americans have been so used to having wonderful things in their life. And the people who are coming to America now, we call them migrants, but they are basically undocumented workers and nationals of unknown origins because they destroy their paperwork as soon as they come over the border. This has been done in volume. People have bags, big bags full of documents that they have saved for the people who have come across the border. We see the trash right across the American border, trash of every sort. Sometimes there are even dead bodies right into America because the people who transport someone from another country don't want to finish the job. They don't want to take the person to America any further for one reason or another. And we don't know, but we know there's been such violence among the people that have crossed into America. Violence by everybody. We can't even figure out what is actually going on. But we ought to be concerned about many things in America. We have the FBI Director Wray just telling us in the last 6 months how many times he has seen, well, this is his words, he's seen many flashing red lights going off all over America. Now, did he explain it? Not really. But from the talk about other institutions besides the FBI, besides what he has said in the past, we know there are dangers all across the United States. And there are dangers, yes, to the structure, yes, to the people, yes, to the rights and freedoms of Americans. There are some people who are very concerned that the federal authorities or the state authorities will take power and authority over the people of America when there gets to be chaos in America. They would say they're just preserving America and preserving freedom and preserving the good things that America holds by calling for martial law. And that is something that has been talked about for a long time. Martial law in America. And yes, those prophetic people have talked about it too. They've talked about the banks collapsing. They have talked about social collapse. But do we actually know? No, we don't know for sure. But we have indicators. And it's something that we all want to protect our country and our good way of life so that we can have a righteous rule over America. And that righteous rule starts with Jesus Christ. And it includes the rule of law, as we discern what is going on across America. Now, there are people who see, oh, I just said the martial law going on. That's true. It would suspend habeas corpus. It would suspend control of social and mass media. It would call for the U.S. federal government to require manufacturing facilities to produce what they are told to produce. It could even confiscate businesses and personal resources. Martial law is a great big change from the freedom we have had. It could put soldiers in to act as police. It could call for the confiscation of all firearms and impose curfews. And it could restrict free speech, yes, in public, and yes, over social media. So we have all these threats going on. It has happened before, to one degree or another, that rights were suspended and freedoms were curtailed. All across America, there are people who are concerned that America is headed that direction. We have threats that are going on. Yes, I just said threats of war. And there are threats that the ICBM, intercontinental ballistic missiles, would strike America. China and Russia and North Korea have all said that this is something that they would do and that they would like to do because of what's going on. So our easy life would become a very difficult life, and we would be challenged to live according to biblical principles and stand for Jesus. Now, as a Christ follower, we will stand for Jesus whether our country has been taken over or whether we are free to go about and preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's just what we are going to do. When we also recognize that we have the joy and love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control that the Bible calls on us to have. That's Galatians 5:22. It is what we have as the fruits of the gospel. So, what is going to happen and how will we do with it, deal with it? It's something which we can know that there is trouble coming for one reason or another, and then embrace the change, know what is likely to come, and prepare with the things that we just might need if there is a breakdown of society. Of course, we learn to serve God, Jesus Christ, and that's something we will do. We might have to practice asking God daily, what would you like me to do today, Lord Jesus? And that's something which can come to us in good times or troubled times. How do we serve our Lord Jesus Christ? And you can ask yourself that. You can ask Jesus to tell you. It could become a war situation. And I think of Israel and how there have been, 19,000 flying objects shot into Israel since October 7th. That's a lot. Now, some of them were missiles, some of them were rockets, some of them were drones. But 19,000 objects have landed in Israel from other countries. And by the way, that cost a whole lot of money to put together. Just think if that money had been put to use in caring for the people or buying food or something like that. It's something that we can see that we embrace compassion and peace, or we embrace war and hatred. It's something that is going to go on in the future with all the things in the world going on right now. We can see world war could come in short order, and then we get to deal with the results, whatever they are. And we do know that there are forces in the world that want to own what the other country has. And that's a part of what Satan puts into our hearts too, that we covet what another person has, that we want what another country has. And Satan is active in the world right now, and he wants to hurt, kill, and destroy all sorts of people, and we have to remember that that is not a part of who we are. We belong to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And somehow, we get to figure out, how do we speak it? How do we talk about the good news of the gospel that somebody can hear? Sometimes, we have to be pretty smart when we talk about it, because we know there are people who don't want to hear about Jesus. And sometimes we have to use the emotional connection that we have to explain Jesus. Sometimes we have to use the intellectual connection that we have with other people to explain the good news of the gospel. That's something we do because we are intelligent people, and we will find out how to do what is the most correct as we talk to people. People we know, some people will be our relatives, some people we won't know at all. And we can say, Lord Jesus, what would you have me to do? Please guide me as I speak to this person or that person. That's something we do as a follower of Jesus Christ. We call upon our Lord and ask him to direct us so that we can know. Now, we have so many things that are just troubles in this world. We have things, I talked about the vaccine a little bit and people wearing their masks still. And we have things going on that just are a little bit complicated. And it means that most people don't follow what transcriptase genes are or reverse transcriptase genes are. What will it do to your RNA, and what will it do to your DNA? Well, it'll change it, and it'll change what happens to the DNA in all of the following generations. That is something going on in the COVID vaccines now. So, this is a reason why some people are actually completely opposed to the vaccines. But it's something which we trusted vaccines once, but they were a plain and simple vaccine. The ones that are in effect now are mRNA vaccines, and they are changing our bodies in a way that has never been done before in history. So we have things changing in life. We have things that are emergencies going on, and we have natural disasters like fires and floods. Those are going on everywhere in the world. And we even have activity of earthquakes going on and volcanoes. Yes, in Hawaii, but also in Yellowstone, there is things going on along the San Andreas and the Cascadia subduction zone. There is activity in New Madrid, and there are things going on which could cause us to have or warn us that there is something coming, a natural disaster so big that we somehow are going to be affected greatly by it. It's something which, sir, we cannot predict volcanoes and earthquakes. But we know they're going to happen, so it's just a good idea to get some of the things that we need in our physical needs. And what'll it be? Water, food, and warmth. It could be a sleeping bag. It could be seeds and garden tools. It could be a hose. Are we going to actually have water? It's so many things that are just a question of how do we go through life when we have this and that happen. And we certainly know about plenty of people who only want to talk about things of this world, the human things, the earthly things. And we might talk about Jesus and have them say, we don't need to know about Jesus. It might be our friend and our relative. And they say, we've already heard of Jesus. You don't have to tell us anything. But we are smart human beings, and we learn how to communicate with people, sometimes using emotion, sometimes using logic, and sometimes we call on the Holy Spirit of God to help us to know what to say. And that's something we all want to do. As we align with God's plan and purpose on earth, and we think about what the angels do, and the angels that are in heaven obey God. And if we want to get to heaven, I think that's a good example for us to obey God. The fallen angels don't. And I don't think any of us want to go to the home of the fallen angels. We want to be in that heavenly home with Jesus Christ. So pray for other people, the people we know, the people we don't know, and the people who are leaders spiritually and politically in our country. Pray for them. Pray for other people. And God bless you. You can listen to past broadcasts by going to www.christtoday.org. God bless you.